I never truly look forward to the first snowfall. It seems like you're never ready. And waking up this morning with 3 inches of snow, my first thought was, well, thank God it's not going to last. And then the second thought was, well, at least the dog's going to have fun. But God is good. And it's always interesting when you head into a new season and you know you're heading into that season. But still, it's like, oh God, do we really have to go there right now? Amen. Sister Donna said, let's keep the Glovers in prayer. I know they headed up to Fairbanks yesterday to teach Purpose Institute there. And I was thinking, you know, this pastor really just kind of turn right around and come back the next day, because that's a little bit of a drive. So I'm thankful they're taking some time and able to be there. Let's go to the Word of the Lord here tonight. We're going to go to a very familiar chapter. As I was praying and asking God, what do you want from this service, Lord? Where do you want us to go? And it's like thought after thought would come up, and I'm like, oh Lord, that's good. And it's like, wait a second, I thought I heard that not too far back. And it's like, oh yeah, pastor preached that. After the second or third one, I'm like, God, really, what do you want me to speak on here? We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. And tonight we want to title this The Witness of Faith. Witness of Faith. And going back through my mental notes and all the different services and messages that we've heard and all these things, and even from Tuesday's share group, we talked about hope and how hope kind of comes before faith, and faith is where we're going tonight. So Hebrews chapter 11, and as much as I just enjoy reading through Scripture and seeing what God did, and you know, we can look back on Scripture and know that God did a work, right? But when they were going through things at that time, they didn't know how it was going to end up. They didn't always have all the examples that we have in Scripture of God coming through time and again on their behalf. But we do. And so instead of us just reading through these scriptures tonight, let's put ourselves in the place of the people going through what they did, just to kind of think, God, you know, what would I be doing here in this situation, you know? Because it's one thing to say that we have faith, and it's another to go through something and stick to it. Because that's the hard part, really. It is. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You may be seated. We're going to continue reading here in a moment, but I don't figure everybody has to stand for that. There's one preacher that everybody thought he had forgotten to let people be seated, but the reality was he figured if he had to stand, then everybody else could as well. But we're going to read more, and I enjoy this chapter because if you've read Scripture for very much, you know a lot of these characters. You know a lot of these people, and you've heard of them before. And you know what they faced. You know what they went through. It's familiar, right? But one of the things that I like to do is make sure that I understand all the words, right? Because I like reading King James, but it's got a lot of old language, right? And I grew up sleeping under pews, and I've heard, you know, King James for many, many years. And the youth tell me, you're old, but I don't feel old. But I've heard Scripture time and again, but Would anybody guess what the definition of the word faith is? If you had to describe faith to somebody and you didn't have a cell phone or a dictionary close by, what would you describe faith as? Kale? Something unseen and unheard. Okay. Anyone else? It's very connected to belief. Okay. Anyone else? Faith. What is faith? Yeah. Knowing that God has you, no matter what you're seeing, no matter what's going on around you. It's a good way to put it. It's confidence. Confidence is going to work out. Confidence that God will bring us through. Okay. I like James, the book of James. He kind of hits a lot of things really hard, really quick. One of those things is faith. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Aaron, if you go ahead and put James 1, verse 2 up in the New Living Translation, NLT. If you do that, James 1, verse 2. That's kind of a interesting scripture here. And it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Oh. Opportunity for great joy. You know, sometimes we look at the snow and all we see is, well, I got to move that. I got to drive through that. I got to, you know, do this, that, and the other thing. Man, I was intending to get this thing in the yard. Now I got to go find it and make sure it's out of the way. But what is snow also an opportunity for? For joy. Snow machining. Snowman building. Skiing, snowboards, all these different opportunities, right? And so here when it's talking about troubles coming and considering an opportunity for great joy, can we read the next verse there? "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Brother Norm, did you have something? I appreciate that. Aaron, if you go to the next one, next verse, that would be verse number 4. Thank you. "So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing." And in our share group, we talked about how there is a maturing where we go from hope into faith. And all these things that we just mentioned here before that faith develops into. Faith develops into confidence in God, knowing that He has our best interests at heart, regardless of how the situation looks. And here today, we have so many witnesses of what God has done, so many witnesses that, you know what, God has come through for me, not just for somebody else. Because here we can look in Scripture and say, yeah, but that was for them. That was for somebody else in a different situation, a different time. But Scripture also tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that He's consistent. If He was faithful for someone else way back then, and He's proclaimed that He is our God, my God, today, then He is still faithful. He is still able. And so, faith must be tested and leads to a maturing process, but still, what is faith? Now, if anyone has a Bible that separates the different verse groupings into different topics, if you've ever seen that, here I have at chapter 11, it says the nature and the fruits of faith. In a different version that I was using for study, it says the testing of your faith. James chapter 1, the first two sections of the chapter were labeled testing of your faith and hearing and doing the word. Oh, hearing and doing the word. Because there's a difference between believing in something and getting up and going and doing it. And they're very, very closely connected. Because if you believe that your vehicle will get you to where you need to go, I use this illustration all the time, but if you believe that your vehicle can get you somewheres, you're going to get the keys, you're going to get in the vehicle, turn the key, and go where you need to go. And you have faith that that can happen, right? But it takes action put to that belief. Okay? So would you say that faith is more than just believing in God, but doing what he says to do? Following through, living it out, living according to what God has given or spoken to us? So going back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." Who witnessed that? God. God knows. "God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Now that's a powerful testimony. It's a powerful witness. I was reading on this a month or two ago, and really, really hit me about Enoch. Because all we really get out of his story is this verse here and about two or three before this. And I don't remember exactly where it is, but all it says is that at 65 years old, his son Methuselah was born. And after that point, for 300 years, he walked with God. That's really all it says, that he walked with God. That's a powerful witness. Genesis 5. So it was pretty early. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That's a good place to start. Believe that God is. Believe that there is more. Understand that there is more than what we can see. More than what we can sense with our senses. You ever get the feeling that you're not alone? Something's there? Well, it happens quite frequently, or it can. And when we're here in the church or in our home praying or wherever it is, and when we sense something, it's just like our hearts reach out for God. There's something more, right? And when we feel that, it is an opportunity to reach out. And here, believing that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, each of us has an opportunity to reach out to God. Each of us has that opportunity to say, "Lord, I want more." Sunday evening, we were at a youth service in Kenai, and Brother Wicker was speaking, and he was talking about the opportunity that we have to reach out to God, everyone. From young to old, it doesn't matter where we are, who we are. The Lord sees us, and he wants a relationship, but it is also our responsibility to reach out. God offers, but we have to respond. And here with faith, I wouldn't say that faith is blind, because we know that God is faithful. We've seen it. We have all these witnesses in Scripture, right? We may not see it with our own two eyes right from the very moment that God reaches out to us, but if we're around him for any amount of time, we can see what God is doing. It's kind of like the wind. Don't necessarily see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind pretty clearly. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm thankful that the Lord sees us, knows us as we are, loves us, and loves us enough to not leave us as we are. He takes us, and He allows us to set aside some things in order to draw closer to Him. That's a pretty loving God. That's a pretty powerful God. But in James chapter 1, we talked about patience. We see that those that have come before us were able to walk with God in spite of not being able to see all what God had promised them. Yet if we read on in Scripture, we see time and again how God came through, how God was faithful so often. James 1:25. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's an important part, not to be a forgetful hearer. Anybody else have trouble with their memory? I do. I need to have things written down and make sure if I'm going to go do a project that I have a task list all set out and make sure that I have all the necessary parts and pieces before I go. Otherwise, it just kind of doesn't work out so good. We're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, by faith Noah. If you're looking at this in your Bible, all the verses, it says, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith this person. And then it gives kind of an account of what all had happened and what was going on. So here it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What was going on in that time that nobody had seen at that point? Rain. Now here, we can't barely even imagine that, right? And we look outside right now, and it's probably still snowing. But they hadn't seen some things yet. And yet, by faith, Noah understood that if he was obedient to God, everything was going to work out, regardless of what he had seen, what he had not seen. And when I said earlier that we're going to imagine what was going on, for 100 years, Noah worked on this big old boat. 100 years, gathering material, making sure that everything was mapped out and planned, getting ridiculed, and the only help he had was, I'm sure, his family. And yet, by faith, he moved. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So in other words, he rejected their rejection and focused in on what God had told him to do. And it wasn't over a short period of time. To us, you know, 100 years is more than the lifespan of almost everyone we know. I know a few people that made it to 100, but not very many. My great-grandmother, I think the last time I saw her, she was about 100, 101 years old. She lived to be about 103. And I can't barely imagine that, right? And, you know, young people, they think it's weird when they say that you were born in a different century. But here, he focused in on the Lord, on what God had given him to do. In verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. So God told him to go over towards this direction and just, well, what am I going to do there? Just go. It's yours. You may not see it yet. You may not know it yet, but it is yours. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He passed it on to his son, to his grandson, people that may not have received the original word from God. But yet every time it was passed on faithfully. And the relationship with God grew with each person. How many know that this relationship with God has to be our own? Not somebody else's, not pastors, not someone else. We tell the young people all the time, this has to be your relationship with God. Not simply your parents, not your pastor, yours. Because this is something. This is a walk by faith. Each of us has to decide for ourselves, you know what, God has shown me some things. He's proven himself to others. I want that in my life. I want that for myself. And this relationship with God, it grows day by day. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What's our end goal here tonight? It's not just to get through this service or to go have some wonderful soup downstairs or anything like that. Our end goal is to be with the Lord forever and ever in heaven. To a place that we've never seen, we've heard about. We've heard about how wonderful it is, how the Lord has gone there to prepare a place for us. But here, in Hebrews 11, verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They saw them in the distance. They saw them a long ways away. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's an interesting thought. This place, this is where I live, but it's not truly my home. My home is with the Lord. That's an exciting thought. That's an encouraging thought. For they say that such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse 15. So in other words, they came out of a certain place, but they knew that that wasn't their end destination. Because if that's what they thought their end destination would be, they would have been tempted to go back. Anybody have some things in your past that you'd rather not go back to? I know I do. But the Lord takes us, and he brings us out of that. He cleanses us, forgives us, loves us. But now they desire a better country, verse 16, that is, an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. When I was reading through this, I was like, God, that sounds familiar. God not being ashamed to be called their God. Did we hear something about that recently? Yes, we did. Sunday night, Pastor delivered the tongues and interpretation just a few days ago. How we are to call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he is not ashamed to be called our God. That hit me. I'll be honest, that hit me. It's like, God, that's a lot of love you have for us. And I'm just so thankful for that. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. And these verses, they're so meaningful. They're so short, and they offer such a clear picture. But we have to go back in Scripture to remember exactly what each of them were going through. So here, verse 17, Abraham, he was told of God that this is Isaac, your promised son. the one that I'm going to deliver my promises through. And then what does God ask him to do? Ask him to offer him up on an altar. Man, can you imagine how twisted up that God Abraham? He's like, but God, this is my promise. This is from you. And if we read through that portion of Scripture, we can see how Abraham actually gets kind of prophetic. When Isaac asks, you know, Dad, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham's reply was, God will provide himself a lamb. And so even though Abraham didn't have a clear picture of how God was going to work it out, he knew that God was faithful. He knew that even though he didn't see the complete picture, God was going to work it out. And of course, we know the rest of the story about how an angel stops Abraham just as he's about to sacrifice his son Isaac, and they look over, and there's a ram caught in a bush. I don't know how you missed that, but I don't know how much brush there was, but if an animal is stuck, it's rolling around, it's thrashing, it's making some noise. But God proved himself to be faithful, of whom it was said, verse 18, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So he knew that even if God required him to sacrifice his son of promise, that God would raise him up from the dead. And of course, we know that that didn't happen because God saw the faithfulness of Abraham. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, by faith Moses, and all these people, time and again, they saw how God was faithful. They knew, they got to see firsthand what God was capable of. And so looking through these scriptures and applying them to our life, we can see how God said he would do something and followed through. We sang, the last song we sang, Awesome. My God is awesome. And then it lists off all these things that he is. He's my provider. He's my protector. And it's one thing to sing those songs on a good day, on a church day. But the next day when things happen, or the next week when everything seems to just fall apart, God is still the same God, regardless of the situation that we face. Regardless of the situation that I face, he is still God. And to see scripture after scripture here in Hebrews 11 of all the different people that went through some tragedies, some horrific things, some hardships that thankfully I've never faced. Each of us goes through things, yes, but when we can look to scripture and see how people not having a Bible, let's say, we're still able to trust God, still able to be obedient to what God had told them to do. And here in verse 25 of Hebrews 11, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction, this is speaking of Moses, with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, he had access to the palace. He had access to all the privileges and all the rights of a Egyptian royal. He didn't have to go and work and create bricks and slave out in the hot sun and do all these things like his brother, like his family. He could have chosen to stay in that lifestyle, but he knew something wasn't right. And so, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he had respect to the recompense of the reward. He understood that there was something more than the comfort that he had access to. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If we read Scripture and know, Moses was one of the very few people that God met face to face. I always found that interesting, reading through accounts of Moses' encounters with God and how God would speak to him like a friend. And I always wonder, what were those conversations like, you know? Because we get to see snapshots in Scripture, but we don't always hear the whole thing. And yet by faith he forsook Egypt. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies in peace. Verse 32, And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Time and again, people would have relationship with God, receive promises from God, and they would be able to follow through on what God had spoken to them. See, here tonight in Sterling, we're blessed with many words from God. Many times He instructs us to call on Him, to see things that we've never seen before. And yet, time and again, those moments require faith. And yet we have so many witnesses of faith. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. See, there are things that we face. You know, we can see through Scripture that there are things that we're going to have to go through. There are going to be situations that come up that we don't have answers to. But we can rest assured knowing that God has given us great and precious promises. And the devil can't take them away from us. No matter what he says, no matter what he tries to do, no matter what walls he tries to put up, he cannot stop the promises of God. And I'm so very thankful for that. And it requires us to walk by faith, to walk understanding that God has given us great and precious promises, and understanding that though we may not see it, we can still know that God can take our weakness and make us strong, like this verse just says. Out of weakness we're made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Anybody glad that we don't have to face that here today? I am. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves in the earth. Sometimes life feels like that, like we're wandering around. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They knew that God was faithful. They knew that he would deliver. They didn't know when. They didn't know how. Daniel, can you imagine doing right and being thrown in a den of lions? Man. You ever see a lion? They're not small. They're not what you would call a friendly creature. Verse 40. Here we are. God having provided something better for us. Something better. That they without us should not be made perfect. What do we have here today? We have the Holy Ghost. We have access to the Lord. We here today are witnesses of faith. We can see examples of people that have received a word from God and lived it out, even when they didn't see the promise quickly. Here today, we are people that live in faith, by faith. When we don't see the way out, we know that God is faithful and true. Like we said before, looking around this very building, we can see witnesses of faith. Witnesses of what God has done, what God is able to do in the lives of people that trust him and that follow through. People that have been healed from cancer, healed from all kinds of different things. How God has made a way when we can't see a way, when we don't know the way out. God still keeps us. He still ministers to us. And he provides for us. And I'm so thankful for that. And it's not just, you know, the physical things, you know, clothes, money, vehicles, houses, everything like that. Sometimes it's just, God, I need to feel good in this moment. I feel like garbage. Anybody ever get to that point where you're just like, God, I just need something from you tonight. And I don't need it just, you know, sometime in the future, sometime down the road. But God, I have a need tonight. Let's stand together. We don't always see the promises of God right away. But time and again, God proves himself to be true, proves himself to be faithful. And we've witnessed it. Many of us have witnessed it, about how God loves, how God cares, how God knows exactly where we're at, takes us and loves us, changes us, doesn't always change the situation right away, but he changes us, and he comforts us. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 9 through 14 talks about how there's a great multitude in heaven, how there are those standing, arrayed in white robes, psalms in their hands, crying with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne." How there are angels standing round about, worshiping, praising God, and all these different people and things, and saying, "Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Revelation 7:12. And there's a verse here. Verse 13, "One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." So we all face things in our life. We all go through different things. But when we come through, it says, "And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." We have to rely on the Lord to bring us through. Trusting him, walking by faith. And faith, as we talked about, is not just belief in God. It's following through on what he gives us to do. And the promise is, in verse 16, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into the living fountains fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So the Lord doesn't promise that everything will be hunky-dory and easy all of our life, but He does promise us that He'll be there. He does promise us that He'll take us to a beautiful place, that He'll take care of us. Why don't we come to the front here tonight and let's commit ourselves to Him once more, knowing that He is faithful, knowing that He is able to bring us through whatever we face, that we can trust Him to fulfill all the promises that He's given us. Can we do that here tonight? Let's reach out to the Lord together.